If grandparents gambling on future grandchildren sounds a little mind-bending, try and wrap your head around the burgeoning legal field of trust and estate rights for frozen embryos, eggs, and other biological material. After reading about a Manhattan lawyer representing frozen embryos and trust cases, Word of Mouth senior producer Rebecca Lavoie went right to the source to find out more. Now, it doesn't hurt that the lawyer named in the article is her brother-in-law, Joshua Rubenstein, co-managing partner of KMZ Rosenman. Rebecca took a walk with Joshua in New York's Central Park, and she pulled out her microphone and asked when frozen embryos first hit his radar as potential clients.
About 12 years ago, a woman came to visit me. She was in her mid-40s. She and her husband had been trying to become pregnant. It didn't work. Her husband died from leukemia. And they'd resolved they weren't going to have kids. But then all of a sudden, her family did not treat her very well. And it turned out they never liked her and only pretended to like her because she was married to their brother, son, whoever. And now that they weren't inviting her to Thanksgiving anymore, and his share of the trust fund now passed to them because he died childless, she said, screw that, I'm going to have his kid.
So she had his baby to get a piece of this family's money, not because she wanted to have his baby, or was it a combination?
It was a combination, but I think all things being equal, she had made up her mind she wasn't going to have kids at that point because she was now in her mid to late 40s, and she was on the fence about it, but the abuse at the hands of her former relatives tipped her in favor of having kids.
Right. So what happened with that case?
Well, went to surrogates court, and in fact, the court ordered that the half of the estate that would have been her late husband's had he been alive went to his posthumously procreated children, but on the grounds that she destroy all the remaining frozen material so that this didn't keep happening.
So that was your case?
Yeah. I was representing her children.
You were representing her
frozen genetic material.
So you were representing, as your clients, frozen embryos.
Correct.
What this makes me think of is, you know, you hear about millionaires and billionaires talking about their sons being trapped by women getting pregnant with their babies, and so that's just sort of part of the vernacular, you know, don't get trapped. Is there a precedent now where a woman might, you know, save some material without getting too graphic and be able to sort of get pregnant later, you know, either...
Absolutely. Don't laugh. It happens every day of the week.
Do you think there's going to be a point where the courts say babies born without the consent after a person dies does or doesn't have rights to an estate?
I don't think it's going to be so much the courts. I think it's going to have to be the legislatures, and it's going to have to be of each state because this is not a federally regulated area. It's a state-regulated area. There are a number of states who have now begun to address this. So Florida says somebody who is procreated posthumously has no inheritance rights unless specifically provided for by the late parent. California goes one step further. California says, A, you have to have evidence and intention for that posthumously procreated child to inherit, and B, the child has to be implanted within 3 years. Because suppose you evidence an intention, but your surviving spouse waited 15 years to do it, but your state's closed already.
Are there embryos right now in freezers that we could call trust fund babies?
They could be. They sure could be. Maybe trust fund remainderman babies, but yeah. If they're defrosted and implanted immediately upon birth, they become wealthy.
So, and all I can see is like little baby frozen Paris Hiltons. It's a hard image to wrap your mind around.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine? But if you were permitted to continually defrost and implant these babies, they could essentially squeeze out all of the other beneficiaries of the trust because they could increase in number, whereas the ones who are alive are finite in number.
Are there any other workarounds that you've seen that would strike? I mean, to you, this all seems very rote. I mean, this is your job. But to people who aren't in the profession, it definitely seems bizarre. I mean, are there any other scenarios that you know, that the rest of us who don't have estate issues to worry about, you know, would be interested to hear about?
Just watch any daytime soap opera. No matter how bizarre anything on that show is, short of a space creature having Elvis's love child, it all happens. Running off with a half-man, half-woman from the circus. It all happens. The only thing that doesn't happen is that many things in every 30-minute period. But humans are endlessly inventive when they're being denied something they want.
And that something in your field is usually a piece of something really valuable.
It's money does strange things to people. You know, some people will say, why is it that wealthy people are so maladjusted when it comes to wealth? Well, the fact of the matter is we're all not particularly well-adjusted, but people who are not fabulously wealthy can't afford to act out their fantasies.
Right.
So we have to grow up economically. But if you had all the money in the world, why should you grow up? You don't need to.
Word of Mouth senior producer Rebecca Lavoie there, talking with her brother-in-law, Joshua Rubenstein of KMZ Rosenman. For more on the article she read about lawyers representing high-worth clients of the unborn variety, you can go to wordofmouthradio.org. Now coming up, 50 Shades of Grey turns some librarians 50 shades of pink. Not in New Hampshire. Stay with us for that story when Word of Mouth continues.
Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow. To the extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal. Light up the stage and watch it chomp like a candle.